Today's program was brought to you by Catskill Provisions. Located in a small corner of northwest Catskill Mountains, they specialize in creating raw, all-natural, handmade food products. For more information, visit CatskillProvisions.com.
You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Hey, hey, you're listening to The Teen In. Today's show is at heritageradionetwork.com, and we're here at Roberta's. And so, you know, here at Heritage, we're not shy of eating meat, especially in the winter. And so I'm so excited to have our guest on today. He is the founder, curer, artisanal charcuterie maker, that is, Scott Breedy of Brooklyn Cured. What's up?
Not too much, Kathy. Happy to be here.
I'm so glad you made it.
Awesome.
So we were just eating a lot of Super Bowl snacks yesterday. Did you have like something awesome that you just pulled out for all your friends? And
there were many Super Bowl snacks last night.
Yeah.
I hang out usually with my high school friends for the Super Bowl, and it's usually 3 hours of watching the game, making fun of each other, catching up, and eating a lot. Mm-hmm. So it was a really good time. I just cooked up some of our sausages. We did a smoked beef and cheddar sausage, the Casa Kreiner, and our buffalo chicken sausage with blue cheese. Which
well, that's
was,
perfect.
Yeah.
Who needs the wings?
Seriously. We did have wings as well.
Okay.
That's just how we roll in old school Italian neighborhoods, I guess.
Nice.
Just pile it on. But no, it was a great time, and there were many sausages consumed. And
how many different types of sausages do you make?
Or
have you made?
That's a fantastic question. The guys who work with me keep telling me, like, weekend to weekend at our markets, how many we have. They're like, hey, Scott, now we have 23. I'm like, really? How did we do that? There are, like, three of us. And we don't really, like, have a big staff.
That is so exciting.
I think it's about, right now, we have in rotation between 20 and 25. But mm-hmm. we try to keep it controlled by limiting what we wholesale.
Mm-hmm.
So we just are able to keep our sanity.
But I think that just exemplifies one of the things I love about your business, not only because it is made with such care and it's always like, I don't know if you could say fresh, but because it's a cured product, but you know what I mean. It's just delicious, but also you have so much fun with these flavors. I mean, you just mentioned beef and cheddar sausages, and then buffalo sausages.
Right on.
And I think it's a country pate.
Yeah.
Has like orange zest and clove in it.
Yeah.
Ugh,
yeah.
It's brilliant.
Thank you. That's
I can't handle how brilliant that is. And you know, there's a lot of like recipes are standard. Like this is what a fill in the blank. I don't know. What is it called?
Finocchiona?
Yeah. This is what these classic recipes are. And you just bring a new creative and delicious local spin to it.
Thank you so much. Well, that's ultimately what we're trying to accomplish with technique and with nods to tradition. I mean, I really feel like a lot of cooking in restaurants, like some of the best dishes that are out there are respect the traditional dishes that
interpretations
have, they're fantastic new interpretations of old school classics, and you're just like reinventing something and making something new and exciting, like
right.
that's what I feel like in restaurants. But for the whole class of charcuterie, we have some fresh sausages that we sell at the farmers markets. We don't do too many dry cured items yet, actually none, because we're not allowed to, but we do a lot of smoked meats, and we do the smoked sausages and a bunch of fresh sausages, and we really do like try to stay true to the classics, but also just reinterpret things in a way that makes it exciting for us, for the people who are buying them, like for mm-hmm. just I don't know, it's cool to like go shopping in Chinatown for kefir lime leaves and lemongrass and to make a Thai chicken sausage and like find some funky fish sauce. It's like, it's really cool. It's what we love about cooking. And if we think we can make something that it, that respects the tradition of these cuisines, we're gonna do it, and we're gonna try to make it like so tasty and like still within the realm of like very well executed technique in terms of the charcuterie. That
Amen. Yeah. That's exciting. And you mentioned something about like you can't make dry cured, and you said you can make smoke. So smoking is not dry curing, no?
Not technically, no.
Okay. Learn something new.
Yeah. Well, there are like many different levels. Some dry cured items are smoked, like a country ham, like a Benton's country ham would be a smoked and dry cured item. So there are like many different categories that overlap in the overreaching category of charcuterie. What we do make smoked meats and smoked sausages. So essentially they're cooked through and they're preserved.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, so they're preserved by the smoke, and we do add trace amounts of curing salt, so that they're safe for packaging and for wholesale and retail sale and distribution as far as we get in Manhattan, and Brooklyn.
Does it require like an insane amount of like licenses to do dry curing?
There are a fair number of. Well, it's as long as you're USDA inspected, it's not the number of licenses, it's merely the amount of paperwork and the amount of space and the amount of recording of data that you have to do. I feel like that's something we'll get into eventually, but it's best as we're still relatively small and we've had a good deal of success with the pretty deep product line we already have. We're gonna get into that eventually, but right now it might not be the greatest timing for us, but it's just a matter of having a lot of extra space and a lot of, you need an administrative assistant basically to do this, to log like temperatures, almost on like an hour to hour in a day to day basis.
Gosh. Yeah.
pH level. It's so exciting. Oh my God.
And you started this, business yourself, how long ago?
It was in September of 2010.
So this is very new.
Relatively new. Yeah.
And this is amazing because I see Brooklyn Cured all over the place now.
Yeah,
it's really exciting. And you're at restaurants. You provide some stuff here and there.
Yeah, we do. We have about 10 restaurant accounts and maybe up to 15 specialty food stores.
That should be a badge of serious approval for the stuff you make.
Yeah, I mean, like the people we work with and sell to, they seem to give us positive feedback from the people that are eating the product. Sometimes it's hard to let go and like let it go, and you give it to someone and you don't know what's going to happen to it.
Oh yeah, but, that's right. They might.
But I mean, that I let go of a while back. It's just a matter of like everyone we work with, from like Tess at Brooklyn Victory Garden to the guys at Zito Sandwich Shop. We know them personally and they're our partners. They're not just like clients per se, so like they know what's up, they know our product, like we know them personally, they know us personally. It's really a lovely situation.
So how did you get into making charcuterie? Is this something that you picked up from your dad or your uncle Bob, and then like after shooting a deer one day, or what happened?
No. You would think that like people assume that
where did you grow up?
I grew up in Bensonhurst in Brooklyn, so we weren't very rural. Some of our extended family and our dear friends do have a tradition of making sausages in their basements and dry curing meats in their basements. But these were my friends and my family members whose parents came directly from Italy to New York. And my parents were born in Brooklyn as well. So we didn't quite have that same tradition as some of the people that we knew. So that's like that. It's like it's woven into the Italian American culture to like twist out some sausages on your basement table. But I never grew up doing that. But I did grow up eating those products.
Yeah,
certainly. And I've never been hunting.
That's fascinating.
But I've visited many farms. I've visited many of the farms that we work with. And yeah, I'm just like a kid from the block. And yeah, just through cooking in restaurants actually is where I got the charcuterie bug.
Wow.
Yeah.
And what's your favorite thing to make right now?
Wow, what a great question. Our favorite thing to make. We just started messing around with a smoked guanciale. So guanciale is a pork gel that's usually dry cured. But
I thought it was dry cured, yeah.
Yeah, but we're just like trying to mess around with it to make it like fit within what we're able to do. So we just cured it like bacon pretty simply for a couple of days and then smoked it off until it was cooked through.
Ooh.
And like hit it with some freshly ground spices and fresh herbs. And we've been selling that at our Park Slope Farmer's Market.
Oh my gosh.
And it's, yeah.
That sounds like an improvement on guanciale that I've had before.
Thanks. Well,
yeah,
it's in the style of, and it's just like a fun thing for us to do. It looks beautiful as well. So like, it's also relatively simple to make, but mm-hmm. really nice to look at and brand new for us. So
yeah,
it's kind of fun.
So curing meats has been a tradition from Europe and actually everywhere, right? Everywhere. It's a way of preserving.
Absolutely. It's
the kill.
Yeah, preserving the kill. That's what's up. Yeah, I mean, they're that. I mean, that's what essentially what we're doing. We're preserving. I mean, we're not doing it because we have to. We're doing it because it tastes pretty good and we enjoy doing it currently. But its history is certainly steeped in preserving every part of the animal and making sure your family and your extended family can eat throughout the year when there's no availability mm-hmm. of meat, and when they're like hunting season's over, or when you can't get access to meat, and when there's no refrigeration also.
Right.
So yeah,
but you're showing how good it actually is when you think and about how to save your kill.
Right.
And I know you teach charcuterie classes too occasionally.
Yes.
You taught a few at the 61 local.
Exactly.
So that's inspiring. That shows people, you know, you can do this with your meat.
Right.
In the whatever, wherever.
No, absolutely. I mean, we really enjoy sharing our knowledge. I mean, it's not like, it's really not rocket science. Like some of those like technical things when you're measuring pH and dry curing things, that gets to be a little bit complicated. But ultimately, most of the products we're making, it's not like they're so inaccessible for people to make at home with a backyard smoker or with a KitchenAid like sausage stuffer or grinder. So
they've been doing it for this long.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So it's just fun to bring a little bit of extra experience to the table and be able to communicate to people that this isn't such a big deal to make in your house if that's something you want to devote like a few hours of your weekend to.
Yeah. Are you teaching any classes coming up soon? Because I need to go sometime.
Yeah, you should come see us, Kathy, at 61 Local on Tuesday, February 19th.
Oh, that's coming up.
Yeah, that's coming up pretty soon.
Awesome.
Did I get that right? Yeah. February 19th. Yeah, that's it. Yeah, and it's from 7 to 9:30, and we do... it's going to be a sausage making class, so we're going to do the basics
sausage
of sausage
party.
Making. Yeah, that's what's up. So many of my friends joke around about this throughout the years. Yeah, so we're going to have a tasting of the sausages we make with some craft beers that 61 Local selects, and it's going to be very hands-on. People are going to get to make some sausage mixes and turn out some sausages in natural casings.
That is a perfect winter date.
Yeah, it's like just in time for Valentine's Day too. It's like a couple sausage week. No, we haven't quite branded it like that.
I can't wait to pick your brain some more. Cool. Okay, so we're going to cut to a quick little commercial interlude and musical interlude, and we'll be right back with Scott Brady.
This one's called Raja Hahe by the Budos Band on the heritageradionetwork.org.
Catskill Provisions has Valentine's Day literally in the bag with their Seal the Deal gift bag. Start with chocolate honey truffles, and then move on to breakfast in bed with their traceable organic pancake mix and New York State maple syrup. Sure to satisfy any ardent locavore, check out the Catskill Provisions Seal the Deal package at www.catskillprovisions.com.
We all know what a foodie is, but what's foodiness?
Foodiness is turning us into those chubby, slushy, slurping, lounge chair-bound morons in WALL-E, plugged in, pumped full of sugar, and brain dead.
Chef Erica Wides is here to fight against foodiness.
You have to keep drinking the Let's Get Real Kool-Aid for it to start to work.
Let's Get Real. Rediscover real food every Tuesday at 6:30 p.m. on heritageradionetwork.org.
All right, we're back on Let's Eat In with Brooklyn Cured, the master of Brooklyn charcuterie, Scott Brady. Actually, Erica Wide's commercial right there just gave me an inspiration. I was going to ask you about how to cook more with charcuterie, but we'll get to that just after a second, because I see, you know, on packages for, you know, at the grocery store for bacon and so forth, like, you know, no nitrates, no sulfites? Is that something? No chemical? Like, what should we be looking out for here? And what are the big differences between products that are cured?
This is a very complex question that I've been delving into, especially since the beginning of the year when we're a little bit slower without our outdoor farmers markets. I'm like delving more deeply into it, like talking to the people that buy from us, like doing even deeper research than I've done. So it's good that you brought this up. Sulfites are usually an allergen that occur in wine, and they're usually in a very minute amount, and we call that out on our labels when because we use a lot of wine in our sausages. Wine in many of them, but they're yummy. It's less than like one part per million, I think, if I'm getting that math right. Yeah, it's like less than one part per million within the wine, and then within the total mix of the sausage recipe, it's even less than that. So it's the sulfites, honestly, I aren't much of an issue. Nitrates and nitrites are something that people are very concerned about. Sorry?
They add red, right?
They do, once you're adding it to a meat product, after it's fully cooked, they make the meat appear pink or red. So it's appealing. It's what everyone's used to when they're eating ham from a deli, or when they're eating pastrami, or when they're eating hot dogs. For instance, like if you were to cook a steak to rare or medium rare and you slice it, it would be nice and pink and red on the inside. But if you were to cook a steak to well done and you slice it, it looks kind of gray. If there were no added nitrites to cured meats, they would all look very gray.
Wow.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's so relatively across the board, that's what you'd be dealing with. Not only is it appealing to the eye, but also it actually is necessary for shelf life. And when you have a business where you're making these products and you're packaging them and you're distributing them, because you don't want something with a shelf life of 2 weeks or less, unless it's frozen, because then like something could very easily get lost in the shuffle there in the turnaround time and people rotating the product in the stores, or if it's in transit. So then you're dealing with like a volatile product, and if you're like us and you have most of your distribution locally, you can talk to people and they can like cut their orders like very slim. I'm getting a very detailed, but okay.
Yeah.
Back to like nitrites and nitrates. Like if you see something like a brand that has an all natural label and it says it's uncured, the USDA designation for uncured means that it's not. That sodium nitrate or nitrite isn't directly added to the product, but in order to make that product pink, like ultimately the same chemical substance is added to it in the form of celery powder or something like Swiss chard powder or some other vegetable derivative that has the same sodium nitrite in the end result. So whether it says cured or whether it says uncured or whether it says all natural, the end result is chemically exactly the same.
Okay.
You're good. Yeah. I mean, that's not to say that every single meat on the market has some form of nitrite in it.
Yeah.
But
it's common.
It's very common if you're shopping in a market and there's a sealed package of some type of cured meat or deli mm-hmm. meat or sausage.
Are there any other additives that may be something we should look out for or stay away from?
I mean,
food coloring. I don't know.
Food coloring.
Natural, artificial flavors.
If it's natural flavoring, it's usually some combination of spices. I can't speak too deeply about like how
other
larger places, food processors like go about the designation for natural or artificial flavors because I've never considered to add that. There are many different types of sodium compounds out there that you could read on your label that you might want to avoid. That's where like almost most commercial hot dogs, many commercial deli meats would have them on their labels. Like a lot of brands are getting into like all natural or cleaner labels, I guess. But mm-hmm. if you see sodium derivatives in mass on a list of ingredients, you might want to avoid that product because it's highly processed. And I don't know, when I eat stuff like that, it makes me feel a little
weird.
Loopy. Yeah.
Wow.
But like we add like in general, maybe like about 1 gram per 2 pounds of sodium nitrite.
Mm-hmm.
To the products that require it. If they're smoked for a long period of time, it protects them as they are cooking for a long slow at a long I'm sorry they're cooking for a mm-hmm. long time at a slow temperature, because it just prevents it. It's a checkpoint for harmful bacteria to wow. grow. So we just try to put as little as possible and way less than some of the larger manufacturers of these types of meats.
Yeah, and I think I can taste the difference. If you've never had a taste of Scott's hot dogs, you really have never had a hot dog. I mean, it's another ballpark, can you say? So I have this other problem. I'm always like buying a big, huge package of something mm-hmm. cured, and I have all these like leftovers because I just use a little bit for some stew or something like that, a soup maybe.
Right.
What else can I cook with using sauce? I don't know. Everything.
Yeah.
Right?
You could
throw a party.
it's you could totally do that. What product? What type of item specifically are you talking about, Kathy? So I can like put it in like. Context.
Okay, I have a huge wedge of duck prosciutto that I got from Hudson Valley Duck.
Okay, you can do a lot with that. I would recommend like when you have something like that's dry cured, like a duck prosciutto, you want to cut it as small as possible in a tiny like dice or slice it as thinly as possible at home as you can with your sharpest knife. You could toss it like once it's cut. Into small pieces, you could add it to omelets. You can totally do some type of a fun like sandwich on a toasted baguette with some cheese or with some pickles. And I mean, you could do
or
like a
pizza.
Banh mi version. Yeah, you could totally like dress up a flatbread with that really quickly.
Yeah, I like the small quantities, so that's why I have a lot.
Yeah, well, no,
that sounds good though.
Yeah, no,
those
it's great.
Good ones.
It's that's the thing. You can totally like extend. These types of products they tend to like not cost like pennies, you know, so you can like extend their flavor and their reach throughout the meals that you make for yourself and your friends and your family by using them in smaller quantities and just like freshening up something that you like to eat at home, like scrambled eggs or mm-hmm. omelets, or you can make a carbonara like for spaghetti with a duck prosciutto, or any kind of like cured or smoked type item is a good.
Well, the good thing is that they do last for a while because they're cured.
Exactly.
Excellent. So, okay. So what is, and this doesn't have to include anything cured, I guess, but what would you say is the ultimate date meal in your opinion?
The ultimate date meal would be for me to make some fresh pasta at my place and to just like maybe have it be like a kind of like a team effort to like roll out some fresh pasta and cut it and maybe make some ravioli or tortellini, which is a lot of fun.
Another step, yeah.
Yeah, it takes a little like time and effort, but once you roll out the pasta sheets, you just cut them into squares and you can fold them in.
It's like playing around with a kid.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's the beauty of some Italian pasta shapes, that they are very whimsical and they are very silly, and they even have some silly names, like they're named for belly buttons and they're named for radiators.
Radiators.
Yeah, like there's a radiator type pasta. Actually, the guys at Suoglini are making it. They're making some pretty rad stuff.
That's it. I have to make my own. Frog pasta. It's not even that silly. I'll come up with something really stupid to impress all those Italian grannies. What was I about to say? What kind of sauce, though?
That could be as varied and as simple as the season dictates. You could do something like a simple red sauce with onions and garlic and maybe a little bit of pancetta or guanciale or bacon, or just like a little bit, like
as a hint in the sauce, totally
like an amatriciana, like with a little bit of chili flakes and a lot of tomato and some red onions, and just starting out by rendering some pancetta or guanciale.
Is that what amatriciana is?
Yeah, like a red sauce that has a hint of heat, and usually it's guanciale and red onions. So it's got sweetness, it's got heat, it's got acidity. Yeah, it's so simple, too. Absolutely simple. You just render out some of the guanciale, then you cook your red onions in it, and then you cook your tomato sauce right in that same pot.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah, and then hit it with some chili flakes, and you're good to go. I like one pot things or building flavors within one pot, especially. I'm a little lazy when it comes to cleaning up because we clean up so much in the kitchen as it is, but at home I like to do things like one pot meals, like braises or soups or chilies.
Nice.
When I do get the opportunity to cook.
That just inspired me, thank you very much. One sure. Last question, any new sausage or pate or something we should look out for that you're about to share with the world?
Yeah, we are going to be doing a poultry pate with roasted garlic, fresh herbs, and lemon, and that will be at the Park Slope Market this Sunday. People keep asking for different types of pates. Like, everyone seems to be into our country pate, so we're trying to step up that
chicken
aspect
pate
of our
I've never
game.
Heard of that.
Yeah, it's it's just a product of like what people might want, and also what we have in the kitchen. Like, we sometimes do turkey breasts for some of the folks that have deli cases, and we have scraps of turkey around, and we have some excess chicken thighs from some of the chicken sausage we make. So we think it would be like a fun thing to make, and
it sounds refreshing too.
Yeah,
it sounds really nice.
Yeah, I like refreshing flavors at times. Yeah. Like, and poultry sort of like screams for flavors that are a little bit lighter and softer. So
cool.
Yeah,
exciting. Like Park Slope Farmers Market coming up.
Yeah, on Sunday.
Look out for that. All cool. Right, I guess that's about all the time we've got for today, but check out brooklyncured.com, and thank you so much again, Scott.
Thank you so much, Kathy.
Thanks everyone at Heritage. We'll see you next week.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes Store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.